other name. Name of Jesus, the only name. Praise God. I like to welcome everyone to Easter Sunday. It's good to see everyone. Glad that you guys are here. Looking forward to what God is going to do the remainder of this service. I realized that my text, when I sent my text to the media team, my wife asked me, she said, "You don't have your holidays mixed up, do you?" I said, "No." So today for Easter Sunday, we will start in the beginning. Because I believe that with any good story, you go to the beginning to really appreciate what is going on. So Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. You'll probably hear this one at Christmas too. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The name. Who are we celebrating today? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this service and our time together. God, we ask that you would anoint your word, anoint me to speak. God, anoint us to hear. God, we will praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. It's good again to see everyone. Looking forward to the rest of Easter Sunday. With any good story, we go back to the beginning. I believe that a great story flows. The introduction has to contain a hook to generate interest in the book and to gain the attention of the reader. If you don't get the reader quickly, you probably will lose him or her. And it makes us desire a good book, a good story makes us desire to turn the page and read on. Now, for those of you that don't know, we have a couple of published authors at Abundant Life Church. I chose the book of one of our younger authors. It is called Flowers for Georgia by Hannah Davis. And I purchased the book. Now, I realized, or I had a very strong suspicion, that when I bought the book, it was probably going to be a genre that I normally don't read. But I was okay with that. So the way that I choose a book, first of all, I knew the author in this case, so that was a leg up, Flowers for Georgia. But if you turn to the back cover, it gives you a little synopsis or introduction to the book. So normally when I choose a book, I look at the cover. If it's got a cool cover, that gets my attention. Then I always turn it over and read the introduction or the little overview on the back. And the overview on this one says, "Georgia McCollin, the oldest out of the four McCollin sisters, left her family's business, the Buttered Bun, to start a home for orphan children with her sister, Anna. Now, a few years later, the lamp is faced with closure. The sister's funds, though not depleted, are already being put towards other essentials, and they can't afford to make the necessary improvements that the town board requires. The town blacksmith, Clay Barrett, learns of the sister's plight, and he decides to help. As Georgia and Clay work together, they gradually develop an affection for one another, which finally blossoms into marriage in the book's springtime conclusion." So I read that, and I said, well, I've got to open the book and find out where this goes. You got me hooked. I want to read it. And it's like putting a puzzle together. The completed picture is seen, and piece by piece, the picture begins to fit together. And the subtlety of the colors begin to appear, and the shadows and sun angles begin to make sense, and the shape of the puzzle pieces begin to form a picture that is slowly realized with the passage of time. Sometimes it just takes time to develop the story. Sometimes we don't get it instantly. Sometimes it's a progression. And our text is a prophecy about a future child who would bear the government on his shoulders and be called by titles that could only rightfully be attributed to God. And if we look at the context of the prophecy of Isaiah, and Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is filled with messianic prophecy. He speaks to a people living in three different time periods: before the Babylonian exile, during the Babylonian exile, and then after the Babylonian exile. And in chapter 9, Isaiah was speaking to the southern kingdom of Israel, or Judah, before the Babylonian exile. And Israel and Syria were pressing Judah to form a coalition against Assyria. And Ahaz, the king of Judah, was afraid to go against Assyria, so he sent the king's ransom to Assyria, asking for their assistance. And Isaiah spoke into a situation where Judah felt powerless and they were afraid of the rulers of the north. And as their enemies only seemed to grow in strength and tighten their grasp, they did not know if God was for them or against them, or if he had just simply abandoned them. Have you ever been in a situation where you were not sure exactly how it was going to turn out, but you knew you needed an answer and you knew you needed help, just didn't know where it was going to come from? And among the prophecies of Isaiah about their future defeat, their exile, and then the return, he included two prophetic visions of a child who would represent the presence of God, embody his characteristics, and bear the responsibility of governing the people who belong to him. Two chapters before, Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born." He prophesied the birth child whose name would signify the presence of God. Isaiah 7 and 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And this prophecy is an encouragement that God is indeed on the side of Judah. And an added assurance was that by the time this child was grown, Assyria and Syria would be defeated. The birth of this child was probably in some ways not that much different than in our day. A baby has a ton of potential. All of us like newborn babies. Praise God. We were blessed this year with two. You can't have too many grandchildren because they are grand. Amen. I hope our kids don't get discouraged in rearing children because they need to have more. Can't have too many. We need another one or two. Baby has a ton of potential. What do we say about babies? They can be anything they want to be. The future is theirs. They're a story untold, a picture not painted, a mystery not solved, a history not yet written. Everything is in front of them. And babies create excitement. Babies create hope. I believe that still gives us hope today that things can change. We're raising another generation. The children today did a wonderful presentation in the Save Our Children clip that they showed, where it talked about the future is now, it's not later. We have the future generation, and we must realize that God knows what he is doing with them, and we celebrate that, and we look forward to what they are going to do. So two of the titles this child would bear, Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, could apply to a mortal human. And in a time where Judah desperately needed wisdom and peace, these would have been traits that they greatly desired in a leader. But the other two, Mighty God and Everlasting Father, are names that would clearly apply to God. But the Israelites were not expecting God to be born and live among them. They had no concept of the incarnation. Names and titles always carry symbolic weight to remind the Israelites about who their God was. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see in the Gospel of John, we read about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. The child who bore these qualities was born centuries later, not a single generation later. It took time for the story to develop. and he would not just be merely human, but the incarnation of the living God. And we believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. When you say Jesus, you have said everything. When you say Jesus, there is no greater name. There is no other name. There is nothing else that can outpower the name of Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, everything that you need is found there. We believe that Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, dwells in him bodily. We also believe that Jesus Christ was 100% divinity, 100% humanity, God in flesh. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel directly alluded to this famous prophecy when he told Mary about Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. If you have a need in your life today, Jesus Christ can meet that need. If you have something going on in your life that you don't understand and you can't comprehend, Jesus knows the answer. If we can just look to him today and believe that all things work together for good and nothing escapes the sight and the purview of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not trying to learn. He already has all knowledge. Jesus is not trying to figure out where your life is going. He already sees it. He saw it from the beginning. He sees it from the end. He sees it all in a panoramic view. God is not trying to figure out what is going on. He already knows. And we can trust him with our lives. The only king who could reign forever is one who would live forever. And the only one who could rightfully hold the titles of God was God himself. So Israel was looking for an immediate remedy to their physical and political problems. God's solution would not come for centuries, but it would last forever. If you're going through something in your life today and it feels like I can't fight it another day, when is it going to end? Just hold on.
Yeah.
Help is on the way.
Yes, sir.
Just hold on. Your answer is on the way. Just hold on. God has not lost you or forgotten about you. He knows where you are. Jesus Christ, the baby born to the virgin in the city of Bethlehem, fulfilled the prophecy, for he was indeed God with us. Jesus Christ is not just a healer, but he is the healer. Jesus Christ is not just a deliverer, but he's the deliverer. Jesus Christ is not just a way, he is the way.
Yes.
He was the truth and the light. He was not just a son, but the son. He was not just a father, but the father. And he was not just a spirit, but the spirit.
Yes.
Part of my daily prayer is, first of all, I thank God for all the blessings in my life. I believe that we should continually do that. It is easy to forget in the rush of life the things that God has done for us. This year, when I pray and I thank God for health and strength and a sound mind, it means more than it did a year ago.
Yes, sir.
When I thank God that I'm able to ride the bike and walk and do the things that I used to enjoy, that I still enjoy, it means more this year because he is truly a miracle worker. It means more this year because I have experienced a miraculous touch physically. And I realize now that I took a lot of stuff for granted before, and I thank God every day for my health.
Yes.
If you can wake up in the morning and remember your name, you should thank God.
That's right.
Amen. If you can get out of bed without assistance tomorrow, you should thank God that he still loves you and that he still has everything under control.
Yes.
A few years ago, I realized that I was not immortal. I was not indestructible.
Yep.
It's amazing what a decade can do to you. When I was 20, I was convinced I was blessed with a body that could not be broken. When I turned 60, I was like, wow, I just hope I can make it to 61. Remember when you're 20 and you can't wait for your future and you're, you know, you ask one of these young ladies on the front row over here how old they are. They will always tell you, I'm 8, but almost 9. How old are you? I'm 11, going on 12. Ask somebody older and we'll try to go back the other way. When you're 20, you're looking for decades. When you're 60, you're just looking for making another 3 or 4 months. I can make it to 60 and a quarter, 60 and a half. Bless God, I made it to 60 and three quarters. So with the passage of time, we realize that we truly are dependent upon God.
Amen.
Without Him, I cannot live. Without Him, I have no life. And then the second part of my prayer is I thank God because He is the light. Because He shines in a dark world. And in any situation in your life today, invite the light into your life. And He will change things. All you've got to do is allow Him into the situation. And He can turn darkness into light. He not just lights it, but He overpowers darkness. And He can destroy darkness in your life. And we live in a dark world, but we have hope that the light of Jesus Christ shines and truth always prevails. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I believe we live in a world today that's looking for completeness. People feel broken. People feel scattered. People feel run over and beat down. In the world that we live in, it's easy to become discouraged when you look around at the things that are happening, but we should look to God and say, God, You are complete, and I can be complete in You. You can put the story back together. You can put my life back together. Things that don't make sense after we talk to God about them.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus fulfilled the requirements of Passover once and for all. He was the perfect lamb offered for the sins of the world and all of mankind. I will present to you that He is everything and more.
Yes, yes.
And as we look at the birth of the baby, and then we follow the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, we realize that progressively we learned more about Him and could appreciate that the story was ongoing. And now then, since He has been revealed to us, we look back and the story makes sense.
Yes.
Because I read the book. And it unfolded before me. I would say to you today, the best way to experience this is personally.
Absolutely.
It's great to hear the story. It's great to read the Word of God. It's great to hear a sermon or a lesson. But the best way to experience it is to experience it.
Yes.
And allow our God to become your God. And allow the problems in your life to be solved by a God who loves you more than anything else. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, was willing to come to earth so that you and I could be saved. John chapter 19 and verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. I believe that today your problems can be finished.
Yes.
I have found out the hard way when I quit trying to figure everything out on my own and I turn it over to God, things suddenly make sense. And as long as we are struggling with that and trying to figure that out, we will struggle and try to figure it out. But you can turn it over to God, and God loves you more than anything else, and God is for you. He is not against you.
Yes. Yes.
I believe that today your future can be clear. Questions can be answered. This is something I've talked about several times over the past few months. I believe that today wholeness is in the house.
Yes.
It is good to be healed, but it is better to be made well.
Yes.
Being delivered is good, but being made whole is better.
Yes.
Having your problems taken care of is good. but having peace of mind that whatever I face in the future is going to be all right because He is on my side. He is the light and He is the life. And everything is going to be all right. How can we say that today? It's because we know who the baby was. And we have experienced it for ourselves. And we realize that His ministry, His life was not just a ministry and not just a life, but it was life-changing. There's very few things in life that are life-changing. Completeness is here.
Yes, yes.
Your future begins today. That's not to say everything will be a bed of roses. You might still have problems in your life. But when you have problems in your life and Jesus is in your life, it makes things so much better. Because regardless of what I go through, regardless of what I am facing in my life, I am resting in the assurance that Jesus is for me.
Yeah.
His ways are above my ways. If we can figure out God, then we need another God. I can't figure out everything that He does, but I know one thing. God has never made a mistake. He has never let me down, and He will never make a mistake. That's why we rest in the assurance that everything is going to be all right. When we look out at our life and it might look like a mess, we look out and we say there is order there because God is involved in that. There is order there because I have submitted everything to Him. I have figured out the easiest way to make it work is just give it all to God. It's not my life, it's your life.
Yes.
It's not my situation, it's His situation. If you want to be free from worry, just give it to God.
Yes.
Might be a good idea to go home and name some stuff and say, God, it's yours now.
Hallelujah.
I'm tired of messing with it. I'm tired of fooling with it. God, it belongs to You. And when we do that and we truly, truly submit everything to Him, then God can move in and God can take care of the situations in our life.
Yes.
I believe that in the beginning, if we go back to the beginning, when God said, let there be light, and there was light. If you're in a dark situation today, invite the light of Jesus Christ
Amen.
In.
Amen.
I believe that when we look at the beginning and we look at creation and the order of creation and everything that happened, we can rest assured God knows what He is doing. I don't believe there's anybody in the room that's worried that the sun might not come up in the east in the morning. I quit worrying about that one a long time ago because God has ordered it and everything works. Is anybody surprised that it's warmer today than it was in February? No, the seasons are changing. Pretty soon we'll be complaining about it's too hot. Then in the wintertime we complain because it's too cold. And then we complain because it's too wet. And then it's too dry. But we go through seasons and we go through times because there was a God who put all of that into place. And year after year, it works.
Yes.
But yet we want to take our lives and we want to take care of it. We take it from God and we say, you know what, God, I think I can handle this one. I will submit to You, if it's a problem in your life, it's something you're concerned with, don't be worried that it might get on God's nerves or He might not be there because it's not big enough. If it's bothering you, it's big enough. Take it to Him. Let Him work with it. Let Him do that. Let Him take care of what is going on in your life. Let Him figure your life out. And then when He orders your steps, then all you've got to do is follow His leading and what He is wanting to do in your life. I believe that as mankind, as men and women, it is natural for us to want to figure things out and to be curious about things. And that's part of the learning process. But I think we need to learn this or to declare this today. I cannot figure God out.
Yes,
and I can't truly, and don't misunderstand me, I believe we should learn, I believe we should study, believe that we should desire more of God. But there is no way to fully figure God out. But God does not expect that of us. He just expects us to obey and to follow. I'll throw another word out there, to submit. And when I do that, my life becomes easier because God wants me to succeed. He's not going to throw roadblocks up. He's not going to lead you down dead-end streets. But God will always lead you and guide you in the path where you need to go as long as we are submitted and as long as we turn our lives over to Him. Today, as we celebrate the holiday, which kind of kicks off the year, it's officially looking forward to spring break, school being out, summer, vacations, the normal stuff. As we look at this today, today would be a great time to submit to God and say, God, 2024, I'm turning it over to you. 2024, I'm tired of fighting it. 2024, it's the year I truly submit to you. And then watch what God will do in our lives. So what does it mean today? Turning my life over to Him. I believe it means the end of worry, the end of fretfulness, the end of uneasiness. You say, God, from this point forward, I'm forgetting about the past. I'm moving into the future. The gift of God is here today.
Yes.
Peace is here. Contentment is here. The light can shine in your darkness today. The musicians would come. I would invite all of us to stand today. Regardless of your background, regardless of whether this is your church or you're a guest in our church, I would invite you today when we open up the altars to come forward. It'd be a great day for a time of family prayer. It'd be a great day to thank God for the blessings that He's given you. It would also be a great time to say, God, the rest of 2024, I don't know what it holds, but I do know the one who holds it. And regardless of whether 2024 has been a great year or a poor year or something in between so far, we're the ones that grade years. I believe God doesn't have a bad year. I'm the one that assigns it, whether it was good or bad. Our little granddaughter, Charlie, kept her Friday night. So I guess I did something she didn't quite approve of. She brought me a piece of paper. She said, here, Pop T, look at this, and had a big X on it. I'm like, what does that mean? She said, that's your score. I'm like, wow, didn't know I was being graded. So I said, is X what I think it is? Not very good. She said, that's right. Well, I'll try to do better. I want to get off the X. So a few minutes later, I got everything straightened out and I asked her, I said, what's my score? She got her little calculator out. Punched in a number and held it up. It was an 8. I said, well, is that on a scale of 1 to 10? She said, 8's good. Sometimes I think that's what we do to God. Hold up the big X, say, God, 2024 ain't very good right now. What's going on? But I think God needs to remind us that He holds the future. And regardless of whether it's been a good year or a bad year so far for me, as long as God is in control, everything's going to be all right. I'm not worried about the future because I know who holds the future. And after all, you and I cannot change the future. But God can. As long as I turn my life over to Him, submit to His will, and say, God, if it is your will, if you need special prayer today, we'll certainly pray for your need. If you don't mind, could we all just kind of gather around the front? Can we just thank God for what He's done in our lives? And then can we make the commitment from this point forward? God, if I have slacked off in my commitment for You, if I have let some things kind of slip, God, would You be with me? God, could You help me turn things back over to You? God, would You help me to trust You fully? God, could You help me to realize that all things work together for good? I believe everything is going to be all right. God, I thank You today for our families. God, I thank You for our church. God, I ask You today to meet the needs of people today. God, You know who is struggling. You know who needs a touch. God, we ask You today to be with us. God, to lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus, God, shine a light into a dark situation. God, move by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You because we know who You are. Lord, we thank You that You came to earth to be with us. God, I ask that You would let us feel Your Spirit today. God, let us feel Your presence today. In the name of Jesus, if there's healing that needs to take place, God, if there's deliverance that needs to take place, God, we believe You right now. God, we believe You right now. As the praise team sings, could we spend a few minutes in prayer today? God.